Hi, I'm hiding behind a bush and jumping out to scare a bunch of children, Taylor.
And I'm the cereal box that every mental health professional in this franchise gets their degree off the back of, Jemmy. And this is the Final Girl Files. This week we watched 1978's Halloween, directed by John Carpenter, starring Jamie Lee Curtis, Donald Pleasence, Nick Castle, Nancy Keyes, and PJ Souls. Appropriately to begin our month of spookiness, and we are not here to talk about it alone. Guest, would you like to introduce yourself?
I'm someone around here who must have been giving him lessons, Jamie.
That's yes. Really good.
Thank you.
Yes, listeners, because we had Jamie on here last to talk about Halloween Kills, a movie that sucks shit, we decided to bring him back to talk about a movie that he actually likes.
We needed to do a good one.
Thank you. I really appreciate this. It makes me, when I watch this movie, I just feel like I'm putting on a nice old sweater. It's just, it's warm and cozy, which I don't think anyone else would describe this movie as, but that's where I'm at.
No, you're correct.
This is kind of a cozy, I feel like this is a movie you could throw on for a cozy night.
Yeah.
This is a cozy movie.
Maybe I'm just a freak, but
have we all considered that none of us are normal?
No, that's true.
Okay, listen, here's the thing. None of us are normal, but most people who listen to horror podcasts are the same.
That's true. We're probably
in good company.
The people will agree with us.
Our listenership will agree.
Exactly.
All right, trigger warnings for this movie. I mean, it's a slasher movie, so killing and biting and violence. Also, some really questionable treatment of people with mental health issues.
Yeah.
I actually wrote an essay about that in college.
To put it lightly. It is a movie from the 70s.
It's weird out here.
It is very weird out here.
Other than that, I don't think, if you have issues with slasher movies and things that are in slasher movies, this is the slasher movie, so maybe don't watch Halloween.
The dogs die.
Dogs die.
There's dog death. There's animal death.
There is animal death, that's true.
Two of them.
I always forget about it, and then I'm watching the movie, I'm like, god damn.
Not even one, but two dog deaths.
I always forget that it's two, because I just kind of wrap them both in my mind.
Yeah.
I combine them.
I also conflate the two, but no, he does murder two dogs.
He does kill two entire dogs. Mandy, cover your ears.
And he eats one.
Yum.
We'll get into that. So this movie is very much like Texas Chainsaw in that I'm sure there must have been a first time that I watched it, because it sure as hell wasn't this one, but I genuinely can't remember when the first time I watched this movie was. If I had to guess, it was a couple years ago, around Halloween. I probably went to Jace and was like, hey, I know you like Halloween, I've never seen it, let's watch it together. So that is, if I had to guess, I don't know, my memory is quite goldfish-like. So, yeah, that's the only memories I have with this movie insofar as the first time I watched it. I do watch it every year around this time, so.
As many others do.
As many others do.
Yeah, I think the first time that I watched this, my family rented it. I think I was in, elementary school.
Normal.
Oh, great. So it was one of those, I shouldn't be letting the kid watch this, but I am.
Yeah, so, I remember, we were, thinking about, what are we gonna watch on Halloween? And then my mom was like, I remember seeing this movie and I remember it being not super gory, so this is probably fine to show my children.
I mean, she's not wrong.
It's not the goriest.
It is fairly
movie.
I think I was literally in fifth grade. And I guess if you're gonna show your elementary aged kids a slasher movie, this is probably the best one.
Yeah.
This or Psycho, but I don't know if Psycho really counts as a slasher, but
Psycho's a proto-slasher.
Yeah.
It's not quite
before there. Slashers were slashers.
But of the slasher canon, I would say this is probably the only one that you could really get away with showing to a child.
Yeah.
And not fucking traumatize them. Because I was fine. Me and my sister both watched it and we were that was good. That was fine. It didn't I wish I had a more dramatic story of it being and then that was the moment that I knew I loved horror movies. But I don't know. I just kind of watched it, and I really don't even really remember that night very much. I just do remember my parents putting that on one Halloween. Like, we went to fucking Blockbuster and rented it.
Oh, there's the time capsule.
Hallowed ground.
Yep. I remember we went to Blockbuster, we rented Halloween, and,
what I wouldn't give to go to Blockbuster and rent Halloween.
Right?
Man, like,
I didn't know how good I had it.
We need to go back. The first time I watched Halloween, I actually remember it. Remember it for how unremarkable it was, given how insane I would be about this movie later. And that I watched it. This also might have been the first time that you watched it. I'm not sure if it was. Maybe? It was a couple of years ago. I think it was when I was in high school. And while I was watching it, I was like in the middle of some like friendship relationship drama.
Oh, God.
So I wasn't really paying attention. and it sort of did not even like really cross my radar. I was just like, oh, it's a movie. Oh, it's just a movie that I watched one time. And then I ended up like watching some video essays and reading some articles. And then the next time I watched it, I was fucking hooting and hollering and absolutely adoring it. So it was the second time. It was actually the first time I watched Halloween, like with full context. But the first time I just like didn't even register.
That's very funny.
That is the truth. I think it might have been the first time you watched it too.
Maybe. I don't even
because it doesn't matter. It doesn't need to be on a podcast. But yes, that is what happened.
Love that we all just had like a completely unremarkable first experience with this.
Yeah, I know. For such like an iconic film, right? All of us really were just kind of like, it just kind of passed us by.
Like the horror movie, the slasher movie. And we're just kind of like, yeah, whatever.
And it is just so iconic. Oh, like, so watching it is, oh, it's just, there's nothing like it. There is nothing like Halloween, truthfully.
Yeah. I have seen it so many times, and I genuinely never get tired of it. Every single time I see new things in it, I find new, interesting little details, and it's just delightful. I just love it.
So I'd like to start us out with a very important ritual.
Oh.
So as I a little behind the scenes for the listeners, when I'm at work, I like to find video essays about like the topic that we're talking about and listen to them while I'm at work, so I have something to like bring to the table other than my own thoughts when it comes to this podcast. I tried to do that for Halloween. And I swear to God, all of the ones that I clicked on, except for one, which I will bring up in a minute, were like, the psychosexual implications of Halloween. And I was like, no. So, Jamie, Taylor, we are banishing Sigmund from this room.
Oh, God. Sigmund, get the fuck out of here.
We are banishing
We're banishing that man from every room.
I don't want to hear anything about how the knife is a penis. Listen, I'm a film student. Jamie is a psychology like major, a former psychology major. We have served our time talking about Freud. We're not talking about Freud today. It's not happening. Goodbye, Sigmund. Leave the room.
Listeners, I have something to say. We are not opposed, by the way, to pointing out cock imagery when it is presented to us on a silver platter. We talked about The Lighthouse.
I mean, The Lighthouse is just so obvious, though.
But when a movie is doing penis stuff, we're not afraid to talk about when there's penis stuff, you know? But, like, not. I feel like people whose only thing about Halloween is that, like, the knife is a penis. It's like, okay, so you read Carol Clover's Men, Women, and Chainsaws, and then you also, like, didn't get it at all?
Right.
Truly. Truly.
You know? Like, if the only thing that you got out of Men, Women, and Chainsaws was knife equals penis, then you didn't read it. I'm sorry, you didn't.
And if the only thing you got out of Halloween is that, like, knife equals penis, sex bad, et cetera, like...
I feel sorry for you.
I feel sorry for you.
God bless you,
I'm
but...
I'm so sorry.
No.
The one video essay that I found that did not do this, and it was actually very interesting, was by, I believe it's the cinematologist on YouTube. And he talked a lot about what I usually find really interesting about horror movies, which is the historical context in which Halloween came out.
Oh, hell yeah.
And there was a lot of very interesting stuff about, like, how this was sort of a post-Vietnam War America. Everyone was kind of, like, looking optimistically towards the future. And that sort of mindset is kind of personified by both Laurie's friends and by Sheriff Brackett, who are, you know, either people who get killed or people who get, you know, or somebody who's just kind of like doesn't believe Dr. Loomis, which, like, I don't blame him for not believing Dr. Loomis first off.
Yeah, like to be fair, Dr. Loomis is crazy.
To be fair, Dr. Loomis, if he knew how to, like, address things normally, this movie wouldn't happen. Like,
yeah,
if he,
exactly.
You know, if he just called Haddonfield Police Department, I'd be like, hey, listen, there's an escaped mental patient on the loose. He has some violent tendencies. We are worried that, like, something might happen. Instead of, like, being like, evil has come to your little town, yeah, Sheriff. Right. Like, Samuel, that's not how you address this situation.
If he could have been a normal person and not a cartoon character from Wile E. Coyote, it would
have
been...
Listen, I have something to fucking say.
I love
that. And that is that Dr. Loomis is quite possibly one of the best characters, if not the best character, in any slasher movie ever.
You're so right.
I
love him with all of my heart.
Just to give a little peek into the background of what Taylor, Jason, and I do in our free time, we did, like, a March Madness bracket with, like, characters versus characters, and I swear to God, the best matchup that we had was Clarice Starling versus Dr. Loomis.
Yeah.
It was, God. Like, that. I remember when that happened, and we just started hooting and hollering. Like,
we were screaming.
I would pay so much money for that fucking movie.
What is this, like, hand-to-hand, or are there weapons involved?
It was like, you can have whatever weapon, like, you have in your canon. Like, Clarice can have a gun.
They both got a gun.
They can both have guns.
They both have guns.
It doesn't... just beautiful. Perfect. Wonderful. No notes.
Yeah, no notes. It's great.
Fantastic.
Anyway, back to what I was saying. And I'm trying to, like, paraphrase because I can't... I probably should have rewatched this before we did this, but I didn't because I'm an idiot. But basically what it boiled down to was, like, the reason that it scared people so much is that everyone was looking optimistically towards the future, and what we see is this, like, personification of, like, chaos and death basically just fucking pick them off one by one. Except for Laurie, who is the practical one, who is looking at the present, who is trying to, like, you know, study and, you know, make a future for herself, et cetera, et cetera. She's the one that survives because she isn't, like, caught up in idealism, basically, or in that
she's,
sort of mindset.
She's realistic.
You know what I mean? Exactly. She's realistic. And Loomis is insane. But he's
insane,
out of his fucking gourd.
He's insane, but he's insanely prepared, and he knows how to deal with Michael Myers. And I thought that was a really interesting sort of lens with which to view this movie.
I am really interested in specifically horror movies in the 70s, because I remember when I was in a class that was surrounding just horror, the genre in general, I remember seeing these, like, Vincent Price, like, goofy 60s, like, short, kind of short, like, adaptations of Edgar Allan Poe and stuff. And it's goofy, like, genuinely. Mm-hmm. And then going, like, one decade over to Halloween and Texas Chainsaw Massacre, and it's Vietnam, like,
yep.
That's what
it
is.
Yeah, it's so wild how quickly the landscape of horror changed. So, like, not to completely overtake your point, but, like, it did remind me. So there's this movie from the 60s called Peeping Tom, which,
I've,
like,
heard of this movie.
It basically, like, it came out, everyone hated it, said it was, like, the most disgusting, obscene, violent thing they'd ever seen. It completely ruined the director's career. He, like, never made another movie. And then you watch it, and it's, like, it's so goofy.
Yeah.
And it's from, like, the mid-60s, but, like, the mere idea of showing, like, on-screen gore, no matter how, like, stupid and doofy the movie was, like, was enough in the 60s to, like, completely ruin this person's reputation and keep them from making another movie. Like, people were fucking scandalized by Peeping Tom. And then in the 70s, you get shit like Halloween and Texas Chainsaw.
Both
which is so much worse than Peeping Tom or Psycho or anything like that. It's just so wild to me how quickly the cultural, like, the, I hate this term, but, like, the Overton window when in, like, horror, like, shifted so quickly. as to like what level of violence was acceptable. And like you said, Jamie, like it's just, it's literally because of Vietnam.
Yeah, like 100%.
It's just Nam, baby. I think that's really funny because in terms of like gory stuff, notably Texas Chainsaw especially is relatively bloodless. And I think Halloween is kind of the same thing. It's just, right. You know, the atmosphere and the way it's presented kind of tricks your brain into being like, you're seeing something worse than it actually is, like in terms of like, you know, blood and guts.
And a level of suspense, I would say, too.
Oh my God.
Yeah, a lot of people get strangled in this movie.
Yeah.
Not a lot of stabbing.
Michael Myers out here advocating for the choking kink. I'm sorry.
Oh my God.
Girl.
Hey, Taylor, have we mentioned that this was your first Halloween viewing as a Michael fucker?
Oh, yeah. I almost forgot. Yeah. So last October, I had the change of life. Mm-hmm.
You adapted to the lifestyle.
Which was realizing that Michael Myers is hot. And so this was the first time that I have watched this movie knowing the truth, which is that Michael Myers is hot. And I gotta say, it was a different experience, and that's all I'm gonna, you know.
It was a really normal
time for you. That's
all
that needs to be said, really.
It was a really normal time for you.
I was having a very normal time.
I'm sure you were, Taylor.
See, you know, I would think that, and I not to continue to publicly bash you, for, not bash you, but like, not to continually publicly roast you, but I would think he's more attractive to you in 2018.
He is.
Yeah, that makes sense.
No,
yeah.
He is. But like, I mean, he's still hot here. He's not as hot as he is in Halloween 2018. Let me be clear.
Michael Myers is 7 years younger than I am in this movie.
And yeah, Michael Myers is 22 whole years old.
And what have I done?
I cannot believe he is 22 in this movie.
It's like trying to, it's like when you find out how old Patrick Bateman is supposed to be.
Don't tell me.
26.
Oh, okay. I'm not that old yet. Maybe I'll still become a millionaire.
I'm that old.
Do you imagine?
Oh, God.
Oh. Yeah. So, I mean, like, listen, he's still hot in this, but, like, not a DILF yet.
Not quite as hot as Peepaw. Got it.
No.
I will expect a full write-up of your Michael Myers fuckability scale. Within.
I'll fuck, because I, listen, days. Last October, I watched every movie in this franchise.
He did.
I speed ran the franchise in like 4 days.
Because
so I could give you an itemized Michael Myers fuckability ranking. I could
Thank
do
you.
It.
I appreciate that. I'll
Please
be waiting.
Put it on the main account.
I could fix him.
Anyway.
And I could make him worse.
Excellent.
But back to Halloween.
Back to Halloween.
Back to the movie.
Back to the film. Now that we've had our brief segment on the fuckability of Michael Myers.
Necessary in every
The
podcast.
Answer is very, very fuckable. Certainly the most fuckable of the main slashers. I'll back off, but like, I'm right.
No, you're right. I'm with you.
One of the things I love about this movie is how simple it is.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's so simple, but there's also so much going on in terms of like how every element on the screen of this movie is working to keep you in suspense and to scare you. I love it.
Yeah, like not a ton happens in this movie until the end.
Yeah, nothing really. It's like the last 15 minutes of this movie are the scariest part.
Yeah.
And the whole beginning is just like seeing Michael in the background.
Mm-hmm.
And it's mwah, perfect.
The beginning of this, like, most of this movie is just, like, seeding that dread in you, and then it comes to, like, a huge, like the powder keg just explodes in the last 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
I mean, let's talk about the cinematography in this movie.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to be completely outclassed not being a film person.
That's okay. This movie has a lot of long takes. And I love that in particular because it's very much like you are not allowed the comfort of a cut.
No.
Like, you're not allowed to look away. You are experiencing this movie as, like, a person would, you know?
Yeah, it's also this, like, I mean, Like, the people who do the Freud stuff kind of talk about this too, but like the voyeuristic quality of the shots in this movie that are like long takes because they feel almost like POV shots.
Mm-hmm.
And
do a whole podcast episode about stupid things the Freud people say.
Yeah, but like, this one's true, actually.
Broken clocks right twice a day.
Exactly. My favorite was the one who was like, ooh, Michael Myers is getting shown being behind bed sheets, which is putting him in the position, like, you associate him with being in bed. It's like, no, oh my no. God.
Is that what you associate him with?
That's what you
said. I think that's just you, bud.
I think that's just you, my man.
Taylor, did you not just hear me neg you? I just need to make sure you heard me, because I did say that's how you would think of him, Taylor.
Oh, yeah. That I mean, like, that's how I think about Michael Myers, but like, if you're doing serious film analysis, you can't let the horny get in the way.
You have to put the horny brain aside.
Yeah.
While we're talking about horny brain, I need to just like really quickly.
What an intro.
I need to quickly call out Judy's boyfriend or Judith's boyfriend.
Like, okay.
The world's fastest sex haver in the world.
I literally wrote that down. What did I even write in my notes? I wrote, I know everyone makes this joke, but my guide really did bust in 30 seconds.
30 seconds! Like, the joke is being made over and over because there's a point, okay? This man had sex in 30 minutes and just probably left her to deal with, like, her own pleasure herself. Like,
let's oh, for sure. You know Judith did not come. She didn't. There's no way she could have.
Absolutely not.
You don't come and then immediately go brush your hair.
No! That's not-
Brush your hair topless in front of your mirror. Like, ma'am.
Just considering your life. Like-
Listen, she stayed naked because she thought she was going to be naked for longer. So.
That's true.
She was like, might as well just like hang out.
Might as well just hang out in my room with my titties out. As you do.
She's honestly a queen. Like, rest in peace, Judith. Like,
R.I.P.
But yeah, I completely agree. I think it's so funny that, like, they're, like, making out on the couch, and then he, like, goes upstairs, and then they go upstairs, and then there's, like, some POV shots of Michael, like, walking around the backyard, and then he comes downstairs, like, 10 seconds later!
Like, sir! That's not what you do.
To pump and dump, man. That's just...
I'm glad we're doing some real
serious film analysis.
In-depth serious. We have to balance out like the fact that our Us episode was actual like thoughts.
So, I read a couple of articles about just like theory. I mean, some of it I think went over my head because I'm not a film person. But I did about like theoretical frameworks surrounding this movie, and I do want to shout them out so I don't sound like a plagiarist. One of them is called Killing Space, the dialectic in John Carpenter's films, and the other is called Halloween and the Limits of Cinematic Meaning. And I think, right?
I feel like I'm back in film class.
Yeah, welcome.
With those titles.
Really made me think specifically about, I'm going to butcher this, but I'm now trying to remember the way that they said it, but the fact that Michael doesn't really have an inner reality. Like an inner, is that the phrase?
Inner monologue?
Not an inner monologue. Basically,
an inner life?
Yes. Michael doesn't really have an inner life, or like, that's why I think that it's so much more interesting to analyze Halloween from like a sociological standpoint than from a psychological standpoint, because there is not really any psychology to Michael, or at least there shouldn't be, and that's why it's so effective.
Mm-hmm.
Just the fact that that's not there is what makes it scary and uncanny and strange. So I think that about that article was really interesting, and just the fact that one scene that really stood out to me in this like kind of sociological understanding was, you know, the most heartbreaking scene where Lori goes up to that person's door and they turn the lights on and they see her and she's begging for help. And then they turn the light off and go back to bed. Because I think that something that is scarier than senseless, unreasonable violence is a society that sees it and then allows it to continue to happen. That is, fundamentally, Halloween is a movie about a shattered sense of security that you have in these quote-unquote safe suburban neighborhoods. So that's just something that I think is just super interesting and super compelling about this film.
Yeah, and you can definitely see why it would have scared the fuck out of audiences that were trying to regain that sense of security after Vietnam.
Right. We don't even have to go into like the history of mm-hmm. suburbanization and white flight and those kinds of things, but like just that shattered sense of security. That.
No, yeah, for sure. I think that like is one of the things that really also stuck out to me on this viewing is like it. That's so horrific. That yeah. part where she's just begging literally anybody to help her and nobody is willing to help.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes me so fucking sad.
Right? It's horrifying. Like it's one of the most significant scenes in the movie, I think. And just the way that like institutions fail.
Mm-hmm.
Like we rely, like we as a society, I guess, you know, Joker moment. We rely on having these institutions like prisons and police and psychiatric institutions to protect us from the other. And so when the other infiltrates into our spaces, that is something that is just so unthinkable for people. And so that's why I feel like I'm plagiarizing from these articles. But like, that's just something that I really enjoy thinking about when it comes to this movie.
No, for sure. And I honestly thought I would get more of that out of the video essays I was looking at, because right? I know I didn't have the chance to watch it this time, but Nick Spheres did a really good YouTube video kind of centered more around that concept and, what is the word I'm looking for? Viewing Halloween through that lens.
Right.
Speaking of viewing through lenses, we need to talk about the queer lens. We need to talk about how Laurie Strode is a lesbian.
Is gay?
Can we talk about how Dr. Loomis serves cunt?
We can also talk about that.
Both of these things we need to talk about.
Both of these things are very important in any discussion of Halloween. No, but like, look, listen. Listen.
I'm listening.
There is such a like queer lens in that scene where Laurie and Annie are talking about Ben Tramer. And I'm not even talking about like the moment where it's very obviously that Laurie has chosen a guy to have a crush on because that's what you're supposed to do. And
we've all three of us have been there.
we've all identified as women at one point in our lives. We've been there. We know the pressure that there is to choose a boy that you have a crush on, quote unquote. I'm making the biggest air quotes in the world right now. Like, we all know, we've all been there.
Annie fucking tells him, she's like, oh, my friend has a crush on you. And Ben is like, oh, awesome, I'll take her to the dance. And Laurie is on the phone like, fuck.
You're fucking kidding me.
Listen to me.
I had this exact thing happen to me when I was in high school.
I feel like every lesbian has.
I went out with a guy for like a week because I had been joking to my friend. I had chosen him as my chosen boy crush. And like,
and your friend fucking thinks they're helping.
And my friend, I came into school the next day and she was like, hey, the new kid said he'll go out with you. And I was like, no.
That is such a weird thing. I mean, such a high school thing to do, but it's such a weird thing to do.
Such weirdo behavior.
Weirdo
Those
vibes.
Two things are not mutually exclusive because high schoolers are fucking weirdos.
That's true.
It was weird back
anyway,
then.
Anyway, what I want to more focus on other than that, we all know that. The point where Annie is like, oh, you could ask a boy to the dance. Like, you could ask a boy to the dance. Lori's response is like, you could, but I couldn't. And I know that that's supposed to be like, oh, I'm a shy, nerdy girl, I couldn't do that. But like, no, it's because she's gay. It's because she's gay. That's
And
my...
it is.
And it is. That's my soapbox. Laurie Strode is a lesbian.
You're
and
so that, real for that, though, because, like, she so is.
The fact is, that though, they had like, her, like, talk about kissing a man in Halloween Kills is a hate crime. It's a crime, and I hate it.
It's just further reason why that movie is awful, is because they decided to make Laurie Strode heterosexual.
Which is categorically untrue.
God. Now I'm thinking about fucking Halloween Kills again. We can't do it. We can't get there.
You know how there's been this whole thing lately about how, like, in, like, some new Scooby-Doo thing, Velma is, like, gay. Mm-hmm. And, like, people are like, oh my god, this is so crazy. It's like in Scooby-Doo Mystery Inc. when they had her date Shaggy.
Yes.
Yeah.
God.
And it's like, why? Why are you doing this?
Why are you doing this? Why are you robbing the lesbians of their icon?
Why would you make this happen? It's so wrong. It's so evil.
Why do you hate lesbians?
That's how I feel about the Lori and the police guy subplot in Halloween Kills, but we're not talking about that movie.
Not only a man, but a cop.
But a cop! Anyway.
Can I also just say, I want to shout out this one Tumblr post. Actually, hold on. Let me see if I can find it. Because I want to just read it on air, because it's very funny. And I think it's just...
Is this the post that's like, Michael and Jason...
No.
...don't even have personalities. They just be killing you and be like, okay.
No, it's not that.
Because I think about that post a lot.
That's very true.
Because they do just be killing you and be like, okay.
Sometimes they put on some funky glasses.
It's true. Sometimes they do put on some funky glasses.
I don't know what that's supposed to be about. Like,
I don't know either. He's such a freak. Anyway.
Okay, this is from thurs-days.tumblr.com, and it reads, and I quote, "I think in the next Halloween movie, Michael Myers should have a pride pin on his outfit, and it's never addressed or acknowledged in the movie because the online discourse it would cause would be so funny. It'd be everything from, does he even know what a sexuality is? Maybe he just likes colors. Welcome to the LGBT community, Mr. Myers. It's problematic to make him LGBT. Maybe the pin was just on the clothes when he stole them, and they've made Michael Myers woke." And I know Halloween Ends has already been filmed and probably edited and is ready to be distributed to theaters.
And probably ruined my life.
I think they need to reshoot. And I think they need to add this.
No, they just need to Photoshop it in.
Yeah, they just need to, like,
they
Photoshop
just need to
it
edit
in.
It in to be really obviously CGI.
Yeah.
Do you remember when they cut Kevin Spacey out of that one movie and replaced him with Christopher Plummer, like, digitally? They could just do that with this movie, but they could just put a little pride pin on Michael Myers' outfit.
Just put a little rainbow pin.
And have it so on in every kill it's in a different place. He's accessorized. No, a new one gets added every time.
Oh my god!
He's collecting identities.
Lesbian, bisexual, transgender.
He is the entire LGBTQ+ community.
Intersex, everything. He's got them all.
He's all of them.
What a king.
He's collecting them all.
Like Pokemon.
What a king.
I love Michael Myers, and not just for horny reasons. I think he's, like, one of the best slashers just because he's so nothing.
He's so nothing, but also he's such a weird little freak.
He is! Like, that's the thing. Like, yes, he has, like, no inner world, but he also has, like, such a bizarre sense of humor. Like, he has the sense of humor of somebody who has been locked up in a mental institution since they were 6 years old.
Very true.
He, like, doesn't have access to pop culture. He doesn't understand what's funny. He just has these weird things that are funny to him.
What if I was a ghost with sunglasses on?
Be good. That's a good bit.
You ever thought about that?
It's so weird. He's just a freaky little guy. Like,
what if
I love it
from behind the bushes and stood in the road for a second and then went back and I wasn't there when they came to look? What about that?
Wouldn't that be funny?
That's a bit. That's a goof.
Is that anything?
Oh my god! I also love the scene where he's fucking driving. And Annie yells at him,
oh my god.
He fucking backs up.
He stops, he's like,
I relate.
The movie could have ended
so
right
funny.
There.
I relate. That's how I feel whenever anyone criticizes my driving.
They're right, though.
They are right.
Who taught Michael Myers to drive?
Me. Duh.
Yeah, Jamie was there and he did it.
I did.
I need to know. Like,
I want a Halloween spinoff about the, like, fucking, I don't know, intern or nurse at Shady Grove that just decided to start giving the patients driving lessons.
She's just really old and a chain smoker and she doesn't give a fuck.
this guy fucking murdered his sister when he was six.
Well, he's 16
now. He needs to know how to drive stick. Surely this will not backfire on me or anyone.
It's so weird because I feel like if you put Michael Myers in a car and just like sat him there, he wouldn't like do anything.
I liked his one-handed casual driving.
Yeah,
that I noticed.
I know this, he's got one-handed.
We're joking. Yeah, so
like, listen, if that was his first time ever driving, like he should have both hands on the fucking wheel. Like,
went in two, motherfucker.
Yeah, I don't. Literally. Instead, he's just like so cash. Like,
he's got like one hand. He's got his like arm out, like propped on the window. Just, yeah, like, driving around. Yeah.
The Halloween music was playing, but it was actually like Adele's Rolling in the Deep just playing over the radio.
A song definitely released in 1978.
Listen.
I feel like it would be really funny if Michael Myers was just really into like late 70s like yacht rock.
Yes, thank you.
Like he was into like Looking Glass and, you know.
Please.
Yeah. I feel like that's the kind of music that was playing in that car for sure.
100%.
But all we hear is dun, 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 dun.
That fucking theme is,
oh, it's so good.
So good. I know everyone talks about how genius the score is, but like, come on, it just is.
There's fucked up time signature really does it for me.
Oh my god, I know.
There's a reason everyone talks about it. It's because it's worth talking about over and over again. It's so fucking good.
John Carpenter wrote that fucking score in like 3 days.
This motherfucker. Of course he did. Come on.
He like sat down and like banged that shit out over like a weekend and then was like, all right, it's good.
And he was
right. And he was right.
And
he was right.
And it was.
And it was.
And it still is.
So that actually gets into something that I did want to talk about with regards to this movie that I feel like not a lot of people touch on.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, as I guess like millennials or Gen Z or like whatever the fuck we are. Who I'm knows? On the cusp. I don't know what I am.
I think I count firmly as a Gen Z.
I think I'm millennial.
Whatever. We're like young people, but like we weren't alive. People. We weren't alive when this movie came out.
Right.
Right.
But like when this movie came out, like we as young people only know Halloween in the context of it being a massive franchise.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But like, when this movie came out, it was, like, a no-budget, like, meant to be just, like, one-and-done, like, stupid little, like, babysitter killer movie.
Yeah, this was just supposed to be, like, a little indie horror movie. Didn't it have, like, a budget of, what, $30,000?
$300,000.
$300,000,
yeah. Like, there are, like, 500 movies from around this time period that, like, just are very similar to this.
Even back then, like, that's... For like funding a movie, $300,000 is peanuts. Like,
right. And then it accidentally laid the foundations for like decades of horror.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like, it's very funny to me to like watch this movie keeping that in mind.
Mm.
Like that this was just like a, like nobody involved in this movie knew it was going to be like one of the biggest movies to come out of the 70s.
Mm-hmm. I mean, no one knew it was gonna fucking shape an entire genre of horror.
Yeah, like, so, like, there are just, like, little things in this movie that are, like, mistakes. Like, PJ Souls clearly breathing when Laurie finds Linda's body.
F.
Yeah.
Like, there's, like, shit like that that, like, I'm sure that people, like, noticed it and were like, no one's gonna watch this movie in 5 years.
Whatever, like
no one fucking cares,
man. It's always the movies that no one really expects to do this that do it. Like, I'm thinking Halloween, I'm thinking Saw. Like, I wouldn't call The Conjuring low budget, but it was also a movie that like no one really knew how big it was going to be and how like that it would, you know, spawn a whole franchise. Like, it's always these movies that no one really expects. But, God, you get the right fucking people behind them, and it's lightning in a bottle. Like, no one's gonna do Halloween again.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's why I think, like, listen, Halloween 2018 is great, but, like, it's nowhere near as good as the original. And, like, I feel like the reason why, like, recent Halloween sequels are never going to touch this movie in terms of quality is because, like, when you set out trying to make Halloween... You're not going to make Halloween.
Yeah, no.
You can't. You just can't.
Because, like, when they made Halloween, they weren't going into it thinking, we're going to make fucking Halloween.
Like, this is going to be a phenomenon.
Like, this is going to be Halloween. They just made a movie about a guy killing babysitters on Halloween.
There will be people in 2020 wearing Michael Myers shirts.
You need to go into it with no expectation that it's going to be, like, anything to write home about, and that's how you make a really great movie. If you go into it, like, with this massive legacy that you feel like you have to, like, respect and hold on to, like, that it's just gonna damn your movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The reason that this movie fucks is because no one involved thought it was gonna be anything. So they were just like, well, let's do some cool stuff.
Let's just make a little movie. Let's just make a little... I can't even say let's make a little slasher movie because they didn't call them that back then.
What if we, like, took a Captain Kirk mask and just painted it white? That would be creepy, right?
That'd be fucked up, right?
That'd be kind of creepy. What if there
was just a fucked up guy?
Imagine if there was a fucked up little guy.
What if there were... Like, he's not little, Jamie.
To you.
What if there was a fucked up big guy?
What if there was a big guy and he was just fucked up?
Just super fucked up.
What if there was
a fucked up doctor?
What if everyone in the movie was fucked up?
Okay. We need to have a conversation about how fucking mean Laurie's friends are to her. Especially Annie.
I can't say that on...
You can't say that on podcast.
I can't say that on podcast. But yeah, they're so mean.
You can't say...
I knew exactly what you were going to say, and you're correct to say it.
I mean, you can cut it out, but they are cunts.
They are! I mean, they're so mean to her! Right?
That's high school.
Like,
yeah, that is high school.
I literally have a note that says, like, I need to know how this friend group came to be. How the fuck did these three people end up, like, the friend group? Like, this is the friend group.
I mean, if I had to guess, it was probably one of those, like, they've been friends since they were kids kind of thing.
Oh, yeah. The classic suburban.
Yeah.
Live on the same street.
It's just wild to me. Like, Annie is so fucking mean to Laurie.
She, like, opposite slut shames her.
Yeah, like, Annie takes every opportunity to be like, hey, Laurie, look at me, Laurie, look at me, virgin.
Laurie, you don't fuck. Do you realize that?
You don't fuck. And it's like, okay.
Like, yeah.
Girl, she knows.
Like, she's aware.
It's so wild. She's so fucking mean to her. I could not get over it. Like, every time I thought that she had, like, said, like, the meanest thing that she could say, she came in with a new, like, horrible little insult. And I was like, whoa, Annie.
Damn, girl.
And when she's talking to her boyfriend on the phone, she's fucking mean to him, too. Well, they're mean to each other.
Yeah, I mean, that's just straight people.
Neither of these people seem particularly normal.
That's just straight people.
Like, at least Linda is, like, just kind of like a nice bimbo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, Linda's not mean. Linda's chill. Annie's a bitch.
Yeah.
Annie's got some issues she needed to work out on her own, and it's a shame that she never got the chance.
Yeah, it's a shame that she got fucking murdered before she could, like, go to therapy and figure out why she needs to be mean to her friend to be confident in herself.
Maybe Dr. Loomis could help.
Yeah, I was gonna say!
Dr. Loomis.
Maybe she could work it out with Dr. Loomis.
Dr. Loomis would see the devil's eyes.
He does, like, one, like, therapy session with Annie, and he's like, this girl needs to be locked up forever. We need to kill her. She has the devil's eyes.
Like, man. Oh, God.
Okay. Dr. Loomis is a child psychologist.
God knows why.
We don't talk about it enough as a society. This man, for a living, does therapy with children. Mentally ill children are put into this man's care. What the fuck?
Maybe that's why everyone in the Halloween universe is so fucked up. It's because all the child psychologists are like this.
Like, this 6-year-old who murdered his sister, they're like, okay, like, we're going to give you to this child psychologist and he'll, like, figure you out. And Dr. Loomis... is Dr. fucking Loomis. Like,
Dr. Loomis says, I diagnose you with the devil.
I diagnose you with evil. You're evil.
I diagnose you with the blackest eyes, the devil's eyes. Like, sir, what? He's insane.
And the thing is, like, this man is clearly respected enough that he has, like, he has a job, right?
Yeah.
He's employed. Like,
he's employed.
He's booked
he's
and busy.
He's doing things. He's booked and busy. Like,
he hasn't been fired yet.
Sorry.
For 15 years, at least.
This man has worked with children for 15 years.
I can't, like, can you imagine being one of his other patients?
Yeah, no, what if he was just a completely normal child psychiatrist?
For everyone,
like, for every
but
other
Michael.
Child.
Like, you're just, like, a six-year-old who, like, I don't know, your parents are, like, shitty and you've, like, been through some stuff, so you start going to sessions with this guy and he just starts, like, screaming at you.
He just talks about Michael the whole time.
He talks about his other patient to you. Not He's like, listen, I know that things are rough at home, but also, did you know that one of my other patients is the devil?
He's barely even talking to you. He's just, like, monologuing to himself, staring out the window. Like,
and he's serving cunt while he does it.
And your parents are paying $100 a session. Like, listen, so the other thing that cracked me up was that, like, there are portions of this movie, like, the earlier portions of this movie, where Dr. Loomis is not wearing his trench coat, and it's like seeing a shaved bear.
It is!
Like,
oh my god.
Put that shit back on.
Come on, sir.
Put it back.
That's your iconic outfit. You wear it.
Like, it's so fucked up to see him just, like, walking around. Like, that scene when he's, like, on the payphone towards the beginning of the movie and he's just in a suit. And it's like, it's so no. Wrong.
Like, no, that's not what you're supposed to be wearing, Dr. Loomis.
Although when I did see him, that is the very moment in which I said, oh, he's serving cunt.
Honestly, he is kind of serving cunt in that suit, though.
Like, okay. Okay.
He kind of does slay a little.
When he's leaning over to the payphone, I was like, okay.
Jamie, can I ask you a question?
No. I will not be taking constructive criticism at this time.
Are you attracted to Dr. Loomis?
No. not really.
It took too long to answer that.
That was too much of a pause, James.
No. Listen.
I'm going to need you to be a little more convincing.
Listen.
Uh-huh.
Some of my favorite human beings on the planet are old gay people. And I think that he gives me the energy of an old gay person.
That doesn't mean that you're not attracted to
him.
I'm
not attracted
to the question.
I'm not attracted to Dr. Loomis. For God's sakes. Oh my god, I'm not beating the attracted to Dr. Loomis allegations.
This podcast is going to ruin you, I'm sorry.
Oh my god, I'm never going to be able to show my face on Twitter again.
You heard it here first, folks. Listen, the fact that I am not attracted to Dr. Loomis is like the eighth world wonder. Like,
yeah, I don't know why you're not attracted to
I don't know why I'm not either.
Like, for me. Like,
I think Taylor is relishing in the fact that she can shame someone else
for being attracted to a terrible man. Like,
to an old man, yeah. I can make fun of somebody else for that.
Because that's usually what I do to her all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did neg you for being a Michael fucker earlier, and
So now I'm striking back, and you're never gonna beat the allegations, and that's fine.
I'll never beat the allegations. Listen.
Oh god.
Listen, I'm doing it for the bit, Taylor.
I have found Donald Pleasance sexy in other things, but Dr. Loomis is just such a comical character.
Yeah, he's very like
exactly.
Unfuckable.
I'm doing it for the bit, Taylor. God.
He's very unfuckable.
You have to commit to the bit. No, like, you couldn't fuck Dr. Loomis. I can't imagine him having sex.
Have sex with Dr. Loomis.
Yeah,
no,
he doesn't.
No, I'm okay.
He's quite like John Kramer in that he doesn't fuck.
Have you guys ever read the Halloween novelization?
I have not read the Halloween novelization.
I have read the Halloween 2018 novelization a while ago.
I don't think I've ever read a novelization.
Here's a short list of things that are canon according to the Halloween novelization.
Okay, go for it.
Dr. Loomis has a wife and a son.
No.
Oh, no.
I don't agree.
Number two.
Stop. I want a movie about Dr. Loomis's wife. I want that story. I want to know what happened there.
He has, like, an aside at one point in the novelization, and, like, I read it a few years ago, so maybe there's weirder stuff in it that I don't really remember, but, like, I do remember he has an aside at one point where he's like, yeah, my son thinks I'm fucking weird and lame.
I wonder why.
And it's like, gee, sir. I can't imagine why your son doesn't like you.
Because all he does is talk about Michael.
Yeah. he comes home and he just talks about Michael all the time. And his son is like, what about me, Dad?
What about your son?
Anyway, also according to this novelization, Michael Myers is possessed by the spirit of a Celtic, I believe, like, prince who murdered his girlfriend on Halloween. And also, there's, like, every time Michael kills someone, the narration feels the need to inform the audience that he is really horny and he does have a boner.
Hey, Taylor?
Yeah?
Are you doing a bit right now?
Jamie, I cannot express the extent to which I am not doing a bit right now.
Jesus fucking Christ.
Like, every time Michael in the novelization kills somebody, the narration is like, and he was really sweaty and it, oh, like, a rush coursed through his veins. And, you know, like, every time he, like, sees somebody having sex, he's like, oh, I wish I could do that, but I never can.
Oh my God.
It's so fucking weird.
You gotta, like, find whoever wrote that. That's not...
See, here I am sitting here thinking with utmost confidence, oh, there can't be a novelization worse than the Crimson Peak one. I think that might be worse.
Reanimator novelization would beg to differ.
Okay, yeah, that's true.
I don't have a dog in this fight. I've never
read I am a connoisseur of shitty film tie-in novelizations. They are one of my very niche special interests.
Love that.
And so someone on Etsy was selling a PDF of this, like, long out of print Halloween 1978 novelization. And it's bad.
Do you remember how expensive this was?
It was like $10.
Oh my God.
Like, book price. But yeah, the Halloween novelization is bad.
Bad and cursed.
Bad and cursed. And I don't like canon horny Michael. I don't like it.
Yeah, it doesn't do it for me. It doesn't.
Because listen, even though I want to fuck him, I don't think he gets horny about murder. I don't think that's his thing.
That doesn't scan for me.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't get horny for murder. He just does it.
Like, yeah, that would be an like that Tumblr post said, he just kills motherfuckers and then be like, okay.
Exactly.
And good for him.
Wow, we've been talking for 55 minutes and I feel like we've barely...
I mean, that's Halloween, right? It's like, such a movie. There's so much to talk about it. It's the movie ever.
The fucking movie ever.
Like, you could talk for... we could talk for, like, another hour and still not get, like, everything.
Okay, so, like, rite of passage that we always do when we talk about 70s movies is we have to talk about the outfits.
Oh, my God.
So what were the best outfits in this movie?
Lori's final outfit. I mean, what a fit.
I liked Lori's apron.
The apron.
Yeah, it's
I liked the apron.
Cute.
I was into the apron.
I like
the apron. Lori's final outfit. It's simple. It's basic. It's butch. We love it.
And it is a sleigh. I'm really sad that we never got to see her wearing that little patchwork jacket that we see her carrying over to Tommy's house.
I mean, we love a patchwork jacket.
She's carrying this, like, very 70s looking, like, patchwork, like, orange and red jacket, and it's super cute. And, you know, if Michael Myers had not broken out of Smith's Grove Sanitarium and she would have just had a normal babysitting night, she might have walked home wearing that, and it would have been very cute on her, I think.
That would have been a better movie.
This is what Michael Myers robbed us of.
Exactly. His worst crime is robbing the audience of the chance to see Jamie Lee Curtis wearing a cute little jacket.
Also, like, I mean, we do have to shout out Loomis in his trench coat. Like, iconic.
That's true.
Iconic.
Yes.
Wait, you know what? Sorry, I might cut this out, but, like, you know what's really funny to me? The idea of somebody dressing as, like, sexy Dr. Loomis for Halloween, but they're just wearing, like, a trench coat with, like, a suit shirt and, like, tie underneath, but then they're wearing, like, fishnets.
Oh my God.
Okay, no. That'd be giving Flasher. I was gonna say I'm wearing a trench coat and then just, like, tidy whities.
Giving
but
Flasher.
That would be giving Flasher. Giving I just realized Flasher. Right before I said it.
Very good.
We can't do that.
It would still be serving some level of cut, though.
That
it
is
would,
true. It that would. Is true.
It'd be bold.
Statement.
Bold and brash.
Ah, yes.
I love Annie's yellow sweater vest and button-up combo. I think that's a very cute outfit.
Very good. Very good.
And Nancy Keys has great hair.
Also, like, I mean, we have to talk about the fashion moment of the entire movie. Michael in his ghost costume with the glasses.
Oh, yes.
My man is serving.
My man is serving something.
He's serving freak.
Something of indiscriminate origin.
He's serving weird fucking dude. I love the idea that he murdered Bob and then, like, just was like, I think I'll take these.
Yeah.
What a king.
He's so bizarre.
He's so weird.
One, like, this movie is filled with very good outfits, but one outfit that makes me, like, fuming mad every time I see it is the first outfit that we see Lori in, because it is a very cute outfit, and it is absolutely fucking ruined by those ugly-ass white tights that she wears.
Oh my god, tell me about it. Why the tights?
It's a cute little outfit with, like, the loafers and the cardigan over the little shirt with the green flower skirt. It's an adorable outfit. And then the entire vibe of it is fucking ruined by those ugly-ass thick tights.
Those ugly-ass tights that you'd expect to see on, like, a five-year-old. Like,
single-handedly ruins a very cute outfit. And I think it's, I know that it's supposed to, like, mark her out as a little bit of a dork.
But also, there's being a little bit of a dork, and there's having an ugly fashion choice.
And those tights, they're unforgivable.
They cross
and
the line.
They cross the line.
Yeah. So, I would just like to say, I don't agree with that. I'm taking
I don't agree
a stance.
With that kind of lifestyle.
We are condemning Lori's tights on this.
I feel
podcast.
The need to state on a public forum. I do not throw my support behind this disgusting choice on the part of the filmmakers. It's problematic, and I don't think that we can support it, even though the time period, you know, like you could say, oh, it was the time period, but like it was wrong then and it's wrong now, you know?
Exactly.
I can't bring myself to separate the tights from the artist.
Exactly.
The tights from the tights wearer.
Oh, God. Anyway.
I hate this podcast.
I also hate this podcast. Does anyone have anything else to say, or should we read some Letterboxd reviews?
Oh, please give us those Letterboxd reviews.
Give me some Letterboxd reviews.
Okay. So I do a segment on this podcast called Live, Laugh, Letterboxd, where I read funny Letterboxd reviews. I want to say, before we begin, I've been made aware that Paul Scheer of How Did This Get Made fame is now doing a bit on his Instagram where he reads funny Letterboxd reviews. And
that's
all I wanted to say. I'm aware of that. He's a very successful actor and comedian, and I think we have like 13 followers. So
we did do it first.
I do condemn him, and I do believe that he stole it from me personally.
Certainly.
I agree.
And I'll see you in court, Paul. Just kidding. Anyway,
for legal reasons, she's just kidding.
For legal reasons.
But for personal reasons, watch your
fucking back.
But
for personal reasons, meet me in the pit, Paul. our first review comes from Aaron, who says, if Michael Myers can wear a mask, then so can you. 4 stars.
Thank you.
This king was social distancing before everyone else was.
He
was
really
ahead
was.
Of his time.
Lily says, Lori, men that don't speak. Michael Myers. That's me. I don't have shit to say to anyone. 3 stars. Zara says, they are all terrible babysitters, and if I had children, I would not hire them. 4.5 stars.
I'd hire Lori.
I'd hire Lori. She's a good babysitter.
She saved their lives.
Lori's the only one not going off to fuck.
Okay. Okay. Was this just like a thing that people did? They fuck
know.
In the, like, Linda and Bob fucking fuck in the parents' bed.
Like, what the?
What is that about?
Like, what if you
at least have the decency to, like, stick to the couch or, like,
are they gonna change the sheets?
Yeah, literally.
You pigs.
You disgusting people. Like, what the fuck? Also, my aunt and uncle are named Linda and Bob, so.
Oh, no.
So this movie is also very funny. Also, Linda and Bob from Bob's Burgers.
Oh, ah. I didn't think of that.
Linda's and Bob's be getting married. Anyway, shout out Aunt Linda and Uncle Bob. I don't know if you listen to my podcast, but I love you guys. PD1987 says, why does Mike Myers' hand have a big throbbing spaghetti vein?
I don't like that they called him Mike Myers.
But there is a heart.
I don't like that they called him Mike Myers.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm not comfortable with that.
I don't like it either. I don't think you should call him Mike.
We can't cross the streams. Like
Mike.
I think you can call him Mikey though.
Oh, I call him Mikey all the time.
Mikey.
I'm a fan of Big Mike. I can do Big Mike.
Jamie, I've also heard you refer to him as Miguel.
Miguel Mayers, yeah.
Andrew said, new fave funny moment, watching Michael look both ways for oncoming traffic while driving.
Yes. Thank you.
He's practicing road safety. I don't know why there's anything funny about a man who knows how to drive.
I taught him very well.
Thank you, Jamie.
You're welcome.
He's following the rules of the road. He's not an animal.
So Cameron says, it's Halloween. Everyone's entitled to one good watch of movie. 5 stars.
So true.
So true.
Cameron, I don't know if that was on purpose or if it was a typo, but it was funny, so.
That sounds like it was on purpose. Like, you'd have to, that'd be a pretty severe typo.
Yeah.
One good watch of movie. This person's name is Speeg. S-P-E-E-G.
That's my name also.
Speeg. They say, when somebody eventually makes the Michael Myers, The Asylum Years Netflix series, I expect it to be mostly footage of Michael taking the driver's ed class. 5 stars. Ah,
yes.
And if they don't cast Jamie in it, it will have been a mistake.
A crime. Really a crime.
Honestly, so this person says, I believe what we're all thinking watching this movie, Penny says, on God, we gonna get you some pussy, bro.
Yeah. So true.
4 stars.
So true.
Lucy says, Michael Myers be doing all that without even breaking into a run.
Yeah.
It's true.
Good for him.
And finally, from Steven, he was so crazy for doing this.
He literally was so crazy for doing this.
He was so crazy for doing this. Oh my God, Michael, stop it. Like, for real, stop.
No, Michael, come on.
You're gonna get in trouble.
Stop. Oh my God.
Star ratings, everyone. I mean, fuck, it's Halloween. How can you not give it 5 stars?
Yeah, I'm giving
it
5.
It's fucking Halloween. It's fucking Halloween. It's October and it's Halloween 1978. How am I not supposed to give it 5 fucking stars?
It's gonna be 5 stars. It's gotta be 5 stars.
It's a slang.
This is one of my favorite movies of all time.
It's giving cunt.
I have like 3 Halloween shirts. It's embarrassing.
I don't have any. I need to fix that.
I have 1 or 2. I have 2 or 3. I'm looking at them right now.
I have one that's deeply faded. Like, you can barely
see it. I have a fucking
anything.
Crystal Lake shirt, and I've only seen the first Friday the 13th movie. I need to get some Halloween merch on my body.
Mm. Fright Rags is good for that. Fright Rags has the best
Slay.
Horror shirt.
Sponsor us, Fright Rags.
Sponsor us, Fright Rags. I have so many Fright Rags shirts. Anyway.
This felt good. This felt healing.
Felt good. Felt organic.
So, Jamie, do you feel like you have been successfully cleansed from the last time that you were on our podcast?
I do. Though, to be fair, the last time I was on the podcast was a cleansing experience for me in general.
It's That's true.
I could get all that shit off of my chest.
It's like a cleansing by fire and now, like,
by warm,
just a cool drink of water.
Yes.
A spa day.
Thank you. Exactly. Ugh. Fucking amazing movie.
So good.
So good. And it will never not be good. And I'm probably going to watch it again before the actual holiday of Halloween.
I mean, of course.
No, yeah, for sure.
All right. Well, next time we will be continuing the Halloween movies in our little 2-movie block that we have going on in October. We will be watching one of my favorite Halloween movies, Trick or Treat.
Yes. I can't wait for that episode.
Who wants to see my little boy?
We're all going to watch Trick or Treat together this year.
We are.
That's so exciting.
We are. It's going to be like the, because listeners, just a little peek behind the curtain. Taylor's coming to stay with us for Halloween weekend.
We will all be here.
I am.
Before that
it's
going to
be so fun.
When we record. So until then, you can follow us at FGFpod on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. I always want to say in Facebook, because that's just what people usually say. And we don't have a Facebook. We probably never will.
Because fuck that, right?
Because Facebook is for weirdos. No, I'm kidding. So sorry, any Facebook users that may or may not listen to this.
Yeah, podcast. Jemmy says if you use Facebook,
if you use Facebook,
fuck you.
I hate you personally.
Do you know how many people's grandmas you just fucking obliterated?
Jimmy's gonna roast you right now.
It's true. No, this is a safe space for Facebook users.
No, it's not.
No, it's not. And if you weren't offended by my anti-Facebook rhetoric, you can give us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Do whatever it is you need to do on your podcast platform of choice to let us know that you liked what we did here today. All right, Jamie, where can we find you on the internet?
You can find me at FREDDIETRMPR if you really like communism or Chess the Musical.
Or Crime and Punishment.
Or Crime and Punishment. I don't tweet about it that much. That's Tumblr and you're not getting that one.
And we will see you next time for Trick or Treat. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Say goodbye, Jamie.
Bye.